Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday, raring to go. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for joining us. This is Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. Nick Wright in 30 minutes, he'll argue with me. He always does. Joy Taylor is joining me this morning. Joy, how are you?
I'm good. That was a fun game last night.
Well, so my wife at one point said, well, what's wrong with the Lakers? And I said, okay, so I've been watching this league for four decades. The better team wins the first two games, and then the better team comes out in game three and is completely flat. And it's like, this is the way it works. And then the Lakers made a mad dash at the end, the better team, and they can't quite catch up. But I want to start with that because by saying that, everybody in Denver's like, you don't give us any respect. That's a big thing for guys and teams. I can't speak for women. It's a big deal for guys. You can pay a guy $10 million a year, but if his rival makes 10.5, you don't respect me. You are not showing me respect. So Denver will say, well, where's the respect? It's not that I don't respect Denver, but this is the year of the duo, and Denver's duo is excellent, but it's not as good as the Lakers' duo. It's just not. Denver's a really good team, certainly capable of winning the series. But after all these years, don't you trust LeBron in the conference finals? You know, since he hasn't lost one in 11 years. It was Orlando. He was in Cleveland. Don't you trust LeBron in this space? I mean, the Lakers have problems that the Denver Nuggets don't even have. I can describe every single Laker except LeBron with these words. Old, unreliable, strange, flaky, inconsistent in big spots. That's AD. Denver has none of those problems. There is no flaky Nugget. There is no old guy. I mean, maybe Paul Millsap. The Lakers have all sorts of issues. In fact, this morning I wrote, I always do this when we talk about big games. I put down the 10 best players in this series. LeBron 1, AD 2. The next five I put down are all Nuggets. Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter, Gary Harris, Jeremy Grant. Then we can argue over the last three. Let's not waste any time on that. I'll go Kuzma, KCP, Paul Millsap. Rondo, Millsap, old guys, but whatever. You know, I'll take Millsap. It's a lot of Nuggets. 1 through 7 is 5 Nuggets. And right now, Jamal Murray, at any given time, outplays AD. It's not that I don't respect Denver. It's just after 10 years of seeing something, I just give you the benefit of the doubt. If you were a salesperson and you made your number 10 straight years, I trust you'll make it in your 11. I mean, after a while, if I give my daughter money and I say, I'm going to give you a little extra money here, don't burn it, bring some money back to dad, and she brings it back 10 straight years, I trust she'll do it in year 11. LeBron hasn't lost a conference final in 11 years. I just trust he'll figure it out. Denver's capable. Denver doesn't have any flakes. Denver's not very old. Denver's not very unreliable. Their players have played better in the bubble. This bubble's all about young teams. Miami, Dallas, Phoenix, Boston, Denver. They've all overachieved. The old guys are falling apart, except the Lakers. I mean, last night's classic Lakers is that Jokic can literally go to the bench for 7 minutes, and Denver goes on runs. Their young players go on runs. LeBron goes to the floor, or like last night, not really engaged early, and the Lakers are like, you're just crossing your fingers. I mean, they need LeBron for everything, and we know AD is one of the top 5-6 basketball players in the world. It is not a lack of respect. I mean, last night, classic Lakers, whereas they had, let me look up the exact number. The Lakers had 27 assists, LeBron had 11, 25 rebounds, LeBron had 12. They've got the Lakers, I've said it all year, flakes, old, unreliable, crazy guy, limited guy, falling apart guy. Denver doesn't have any of those issues. But if you keep showing me something for a decade, I just trust LeBron will figure it out. I think Denver's got more players that contribute. They've got less baggage. They've got fewer issues. They're more athletic. Their top seven players are more trustable. Denver. Nuggets. It's all Denver. You do something for a decade, I trust. You make your number for a decade, sales guy, saleswoman, I trust you're going to make it the next year. Here's LeBron. And by the way, last night, LeBron not as engaged early. Then they get all fired up, you know, race back. And, you know, Jamal Murray's a great player, hits a basket, and they put him away. Here's LeBron after.
And we understood we had 12 minutes left to try to make a game of it. We was able to do that. You know, when you dig yourself a hole like that, you know, every shot that they make, every shot that we miss, you know, is, you know, feels like the game is collapsing. So, you know, we played, you know, some pretty good ball in the fourth quarter, but those first 36 minutes hurt us, obviously.
Obviously. Still like the Lakers, still like LeBron. In fact, I really don't like the Lakers. I like LeBron. I mean, I don't like all the Lakers stuff. I said it all year. I don't really like them. I just like LeBron. I didn't even like AD until he played with LeBron. Now I like AD. None of you like Frank Vogel until he coached LeBron. Now we all kind of like Frank Vogel. I'll take the Lakers still. All right, this is an interesting weekend in the NFL. It's kind of a cool weekend where you get two young, good quarterbacks, Jared Goff, Josh Allen. We get Patrick Mahomes against Lamar Jackson. We get two icons. We get Aaron Rodgers against Drew Brees. Well, it's interesting, right? Let's say an interesting weekend. And then we get Dak and Russell Wilson. Now, a lot of you think I like Russell Wilson way too much. I mean, I've been hearing this now for 3 years. Oh, get off it. You and Russell Wilson. What is it? It's ridiculous. And I also hear simultaneously, you're very, very rough on Dak Prescott. That's why this weekend's important. Now, I want you to think about that as Russell Wilson faces Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, Tyron Smith is back, has a better offensive line this weekend. He's got the star running back. He also has a better trio of wide receivers. Dak has the better defense. Seattle now has allowed the most passing yards in the NFL by a lot, and they have no pass rush. So Dak has the better O-line, the better star back, the better trio of receivers, and the better defense. And Russell Wilson's favored by 5.5. But he's at home. Oh, wait. No, they don't have any fans. If fans were allowed in the stadium, the 5.5-point spread would be 7. Because Seattle, New Orleans, Green Bay tend to have the best home field advantages, according to Fox Bet and you know, the guys that gamble for a living and make lines. This is the difference. Is that Russell will, if this, we went into this game and we said Russell Wilson's got the better three receivers, the better running back, the better defense, the better offensive line, this would not be a fascinating football game. What makes it a fascinating football game is that Dak has better assets everywhere. Now, by the way, Dak's going to get all sorts of stats in this game. Why? Because he's going to trail and have to throw. Number two, Seattle has no pass rush. Last in the league, they have no pass rush. So Dak's going to throw from a clean pocket. All quarterbacks in this league that start are pretty good with a clean pocket. Also, Dak's got good weapons. He's got good weapons. You can't. CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Zeke can catch, Amari Cooper. Even their young tight ends are fine. They're not great, but they're fine. And Dak through two games, once again, is giving us all sorts of stats. But the difference is Russell Wilson tends to make his greatest plays in the biggest moments. Dak's greatest stats are often early when the game's not in doubt or late when they're catching up and it's not a play to win the game, it's a play to get back into the game. But I think it's very interesting for those of you who think I am too pro Russell Wilson and too anti Dak. There are three games this year, really fascinating games, that Dak is in, quarterback battles. So this is the first, Russell Wilson. And they're contemporaries. They're not rookies anymore. They're not kids. These are guys that have seen every defense. This is the first. Then Dak is going to go against a baby, Kyler Murray. That's coming up. Keep your eye on that. And then Dak's going to go up literally a contemporary, Lamar Jackson. They've opened in the league roughly about the same time. Very interesting. Those are the three matchups I want you to watch for those who think I'm far too critical of Dak Prescott. This is the first of three. He faces a legend, a Hall of Famer, Russell Wilson, then a young kid, Kyler Murray, and then a contemporary, Lamar Jackson. And my guess is after all three, Dak will have stats in all of them. He'll have losses in all of them. and you'll feel he's the second best quarterback in all three of them. For those who think I'm too rough on him, I don't think I am. You do, I don't. Coming up next, I criticized Drew Brees yesterday, got some pushback on it. I'll double down on that. And I'll also be as honest as I can and frank as I can about the limitations of Tom Brady. And it, what's happening in the NFL through 2 weeks is actually fascinating. I'm gonna give you something, and you're going to be like, oh, my God, I didn't see that. And I didn't see it either until late this morning. Plus, I will play Detective Colin later in the show. Got a quite Joy can I'm going to be a detective. You can join me in our detective special agents later this hour.
Undercover.
Interesting story, and I want to play special agent, and the audience can help us later this hour. Okay.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, the sports is really cramping my style, Joey Taylor. So, you know, in the football season, now with all these sports going on, so during the football season, I can't go out with my wife for dinner on Sunday because of Sunday night because right. There's football games. And Monday night, it's Monday night football, I can't go out. And Thursday night, it's Thursday night football, and I can't go out. And Saturday night, I can't go out, usually because of either college football or because I have the Sunday show. I have to get up at 5 in the morning.
Sure.
4 days are off. And then last night, I'm like, oh, I take my wife out. I got a Laker game. So I wanted to go out. Rob Stone works at the company, his beautiful wife, and I thought, let's go out. And it's just like I got to watch the first half, and then constantly doing updates. Like, you know, I don't want to bring my phone. My wife sees it. I'm thinking, this sports thing's really getting in the way of my social life.
Well, yeah, I mean, having NBA basketball playoffs during football season is an interesting situation. I mean, if you're single like me and you have nothing but plants, then you know, it's fine. You just spend a lot of time.
It's incredible.
Couch.
If we had a full slate of college football, can you imagine? I mean, there's just no, like, literally Wednesday night is it for me.
I'm telling
now.
You, just stream it on your phone. You can go to a nice restaurant.
No, you can't do that.
Pop it. I do it all the time. Pop it right
you're
there.
You're not married to Anne.
That's fair.
You cannot do that with Anne.
That's fair.
Anne needs attention. If I'm looking out, if I'm looking at Jokic passing the ball to Jamal Murray and instead of my wife's beautiful eyes,
well, yeah, that's true. That's
night
true.
Will not end well for me.
That's fair. I understand.
Speaking of not ending well, I was really tough on Drew Brees yesterday, and I said, "Listen, he's Kirk Cousins now. He's accurate. He's good at the line of scrimmage. He looks a lot more like Kirk Cousins than Patrick Mahomes to me. Of course he does. He's 40 years old." I was told yesterday the Saints had to talk him back into playing. He was ready to go. And Sean Payton said, you got to give me one more year. Is he all in? I don't know. But Brett Favre said yesterday, stop picking on Drew Brees. Stop picking on Tom Brady. Here's the legend, Brett Favre.
It's way premature to think either guy is over the hill. I think physically speaking, they're fine. You're not asking Drew Brees or Tom Brady to be Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson. What they do, the way they play, and how they've played for so many years, they still have that. They're not asked to be very mobile. If you can protect them, they'll pick you apart. There's no difference today than 8 years ago, other than the age, based on how you ask them to play and how they play. You know, what I'm talking about is more mental.
No, there is a big difference. It's called the league. Here's the 2-0 quarterbacks in the league. Notice a trend. I want Russell Wilson mobile, Lamar mobile, Patrick Mahomes mobile, Aaron Rodgers mobile, Big Ben extends plays, Josh Allen mobile, Tannehill was a college wide receiver. We never ever doubt Tannehill can run. It's always been the throw. Derek Carr, he's very Tony Romo, can move. Kyler Murray mobile, Mitch Trubisky mobile, Jared Goff. Jared Goff is not mobile. Oh, but yes, he is in the Rams offense because the Rams, 70% of the time, the Rams, and Joy to my witness, you is my witness, nobody moves the pocket more than the Rams. They move it more than Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. They roll out every time. They're multiple. No team in the league moves the pocket more and manipulates it at a dizzying pace like the Rams. So in this offense, and by the way, Goff throws very well on the run. He's not Matt Ryan at all. He throws very well on the run. He's not Dwayne Haskins, whose accuracy dips when he moves. Goff's a very good thrower, especially throwing to his right side. So that's mobile. Even Mitch Trubisky, who most of us think is limited, do you realize in the NFL that it's so catered now to mobile quarterbacks, he's 21-10 under Matt Nagy. He's 21-10. He's 25-18. That includes the rookie year with John Fox, who didn't know what the heck he was doing with him. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, the two quarterbacks we've seen we like, what are they? Oh, they're mobile. Next year, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, the top three quarterback prospects. What are they? Mobile. Now let me give you a list of many of the quarterbacks who are 0-2. Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater, Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. They run out of necessity. They are not mobile. That's the league. That's why I can't buy into the Saints as a Super Bowl team. Did not last year. It's why I can't pull the trigger on Tampa Bay as a Super Bowl team. It's not, not only are Breeze and Brady old school, they're old guys and old school. The league is demanding more. Trubisky is a quarterback Chicago. People in Chicago don't believe in. He's 21-10 under Matt Nagy. This is too much data to disregard. The league is changing. Mobility at quarterback is 70% of it. Pocket guys, unless they have, you know, and by the way, Dak is 1-1. But for those who like Dak, Dak is mobile. Like, so it's nothing against Breeze and Brady. They're old school guys who are now old. But the league 7-8 years ago was not this. You could not go, and I could not give you a chart and say, oh, all the mobile guys are 2-0. It was often the opposite. The guys that ran around a lot, you're like, yeah, they got to be a pocket guy. I just think the league's changing. It's only 2 weeks, but we have evidence. I cannot consider the Saints a Super Bowl team. And as much as I like Brady, I think their story is really right now much more defense than offense. And I don't know if they ever click. I think they get better. But it's very tough in 2020 in the NFL to be old school and old. Joy of the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
The Giants have signed running back Devontae Freeman to a one-year contract worth up to $3 million. He'll fill in for Saquon Barkley, who is out for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. Mm-hmm. Freeman could get some playing time this Sunday against the 49ers. He played in 14 games with Atlanta in 2019, 184 carries, 656 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Obviously, Saquon Barkley only missed 3 games last year with a high ankle sprain, 217 carries, over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Saquon is not a replaceable piece for the Giants, obviously, not just from his performance, but he's also the face of that franchise at this point.
Which doesn't have one beyond him.
Right. And the Giants are 0-2, losing to the Steelers, and this week to the Bears.
There are stories emerging. I got to tell our audience this because I don't think most of our audience knows this. The New York television ratings for the Jets and Giants are the lowest they've ever been. So the NFL's ratings are right now holding steady when the biggest city in America has turned off football. The Jets' ratings over the weekend were like a 3. That's a Yankee regular season baseball game. And the Jets have a lot of fans. There are discussions in New York today. Trevor Lawrence. These are the two worst teams in the league we've seen. Easily. Jets and Giants are the two worst teams. Both, they may pick 1-2. Do they go with Trevor Lawrence? If I'm the Giants, I got to think long and hard about it. But if you're the Jets, so because they don't have a marketable piece, Trevor Lawrence is not only great, he's not only an A-plus prospect, he's marketable. He's been the best college player for now 2 to 3 years. So just ask yourself this. Washington appears to be too good defensively to get the top 1 or 2 pick.
Right.
Jacksonville is too good offensively to get the 1 or 2
and
pick.
And they seem to like Gardner.
It is developing very quickly now.
I mean, but which team the quarterback would you bail on?
I'll talk about it later, but it's a real top of next hour. I want to talk about this, but I'll just throw this out. There are discussions now. Trevor Lawrence, the Jets or the Giants are the two worst teams in the league. And Joy, I don't even think it's close to this point. I don't think it's Detroit's the only one I'd even mention.
I mean, that's great news if you're Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, at either of those teams, just because they're in New York, is amazing.
It used to be, Joy, we gave quarterbacks Eli Manning's third year in the
league. You get no time.
He was awful. His fourth year, they won a Super Bowl. He led the NFL in picks.
Baker Mayfield has had 3 coaches, 4 if you count an interim. and we expect him to not only be great, but he has to get it done this season or he's probably going to be gone.
So it's the whole Giants-Jets thing is the ratings in New York are terrible. What's telling you is there's nobody to put your arms around.
Yeah.
See, there's nobody in the city. There is no Eli. They don't have their Jeter. They don't have their Strahan. They don't have their, for a while it was Victor Cruz. They don't have their Odell Beckham. There's no star. Now Barkley's out. Trevor Lawrence to the Jets and Giants is a real possibility. I read 2 stories yesterday. It's not smoke. It's like the discussion in the league right now.
Well, the Giants' next four opponents are the 49ers, who are obviously very banged up, but still, even with injuries, are going to beat them. At the Rams.
They'll lose.
At the Cowboys. And then they have Washington. So it could be really bleak for the Giants very quickly. So Cam Newton has been a great fit for the Patriots so far. He's only on a one-year deal, but he says getting an extension with the team is not a priority right now.
That is literally the last of my worries. Money at this particular point in my career is not important, right? And let's be honest. Like I've made money, but for everything that I play this game for, I haven't received yet. And that's why I'm playing. So it's not about money. It's about respect.
Cam's saying all the right things, but obviously they're kind of poking him there a little bit. You know, there's some momentum with the Patriots now. We're kind of starting to talk about, is this more than a temporary situation? But he's right. He's not thinking about money right now. He knew what the situation was when he came to New England.
Well, he wouldn't sign with them if money was the issue.
Right, and he's made around $122 million just in the NFL. That's not counting endorsements and whatever else he's made outside of the league. So money is not an issue. Once you're making over $100 million, like, he's in a situation where he needs to recreate his career, and he's doing so, but we're two games in. He's not thinking about money. He signed an incentivized contract, a one-year deal, base salary of $1 million.
Even if the Patriots thought, we want to get one of these new quarterbacks, wouldn't you sign him to an extension to at least be a mentor for a year so you wouldn't? Even Trevor Lawrence, I'd rather he sit for 6 to 8 games.
Just to stabilize it. And guys, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. Like, we're getting through this season. I know everyone, and I myself included, is talking about like 2021 as if it's going to hit New Year's and everything is going to be different. Like, I think we're all just kind of hoping for that. But we have no idea what next season is going to look like either. Like, having someone who's in your organization who can stabilize moving forward is important. I think Cam's going to be there next year if this continues to trend the way that it is.
We'll talk about that later, but I think there's a couple of things that play into Cam's favor on playing next year. A couple of really interesting things. And if they beat the Raiders this weekend, well, we'll get into it. But it there are a lot. I didn't think this was possible 3 weeks ago. There are two or three things playing out here. If they beat the Raiders, you can absolutely see them extending Cam's contract in New England. I never thought I would say that a month ago.
No. So finally, the Heat have played from behind every game this series against the Celtics. And after the loss in Game 3, Jimmy Butler was criticized for not being aggressive enough early, but he doesn't seem too concerned about it. Miami has a 2-1 lead, and Butler said as long as his team wins, there's no problem with anything. He had 17 points in Game 3. He is averaging less points against the Celtics than he has in the playoffs so far. He averaged 20.6 points throughout the playoffs and 17 against the Celtics.
They're a better defensive team.
They are a better team, so that's to be expected. They had a 14-point deficit in Game 1, 17 in Game 2, and 20 in Game 3, which would explain why they weren't able to come back. But they do need to start more aggressive. You can't continue to have these kind of deficits against a team like the Celtics. Game 3 was bound to happen. You need to come out in the first quarter and be aggressive. You can't get down that much to a team like the Celtics consistently. You're not going to win the series.
Listen, Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in football, right? They're down 10 points all the time. Like, they're
one of the best, and not that the Heat are not, but like, they're not going against the best team in the league every week. Like, what they did in the playoffs last year was remarkable. You don't want to be behind in every single playoff game. That's a risky way to play. So he's in the first half, he's averaging 7 points, 2 rebounds, and 1.3 assists against the Celtics. So he needs to come out a little stronger. By the way, you may see a familiar face in the digital stands tonight, just saying.
Are you there?
I am. I'm very excited.
So you're the digital.
I'm entering the bubble digitally tonight. So
that's fun.
I'm very excited.
That's great. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, just bring on my buddy. Last week, you know, sometimes, why do I bring him back? I mean, I just get criticized. It shows you that I must be very secure in myself, because it's just, I sit here for 10 minutes and I'm a speed bag for Nick Wright. First things first, joining me, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So I think we're going to agree on the first thing. You know, people are so ridiculous. Okay. Like, even Michael Jordan didn't sweep series. Nobody sweeps anybody in the conference finals. It's stupid. So I don't really care that the Lakers lost last night. Do we agree on that?
Yeah, of course we agree on that. Folks are out of their minds. Like, a weird thing happens. The most popular pick for this series was Lakers in either 5 or 6. That means they're going to lose once or twice. Yet as soon as they lose, folks are like, oh my God, I think LeBron's old. AD, he just hit that game winner, but he didn't have a rebound. Jeremy Grant, if he goes for damn near 30 again, they're in trouble. Here's a fun stat for you, Colin. In the last 5 years, there have only been three playoff winning streaks longer than the one the Lakers just ended. The Warriors had one, obviously. The Cavs with LeBron had one, obviously. And, oddly enough, Joy Taylor's beloved Miami Heat had one earlier this year, their first seven games. You don't go on 5, 6, 7, 8 game winning streaks in the postseason. The Lakers didn't play well in the second half of game two and they escaped. They didn't play well for the first 3.5 quarters yesterday and they, of course, didn't escape. They almost came back, but they're going to be fine. They're going to win Thursday. Remember when Moses Malone, Colin, did faux,
yeah,
talking about the Sixers sweeping their way to the finals? I think the Lakers are going to go 5-5-5-5. I think they're all going to be five-game series this postseason. I've been saying that for about a week now. I think they'll win games 4 and 5 and be fine.
Yep, I agree. Let me shift to Cam Newton. Cam drives me crazy. But here's what
wrong.
I like.
You're
is
wrong.
That I believe yeah. in structure. Antonio Brown is talent. He left great structure, and he's no good. Where I'll give Cam credit, he is totally embracing, hey, I can be independent and do the Superman and be crazy outfits and have funny comments and ad lib, but he's buying the structure, right? This is why this is working. It's not because Cam's the world's greatest quarterback. He's buying into the Patriot way. You can acknowledge that, right?
No, I can't acknowledge that. I will acknowledge nothing on Cam Newton until you stare straight down in the barrel of the camera one day and say, not only was I wrong about Cam Newton, but I deeply apologize to Cam and his family. Until you do that, I will give not a single inch. This was a guy who was just available. You're good. It feels to me like you have good friends in the Colts organization. They give Philip Rivers $25 million. You love that move. Cam's just sitting there hanging out. Chicago Bears, they trade a pick and then give Nick Foles 20 some million guaranteed. Oh, that's fine. Cam's just hanging out. Is he healthy? I don't know. Do you have access to Instagram? He was posting videos all summer, looked totally healthy, and now he's in New England and he's killing folks. First game, he did it with his legs. Second game, he did it with his arms. And while he didn't score on that final 1 yard run, it shouldn't have come down to that. If Julian Edelman can catch the perfectly placed touchdown pass he threw two plays prior that Edelman just dropped. He's been awesome. He's been a great teammate. He's been a leader. They're playing Kirk Franklin at Patriots practices. Everything's coming up New England somehow. And I hold you and others like you personally accountable for this even happening. The Patriots were supposed to stink. They were supposed to have Jared Stidham, pardon me. They were supposed to be tanking for Trevor by playing Jarrett. But because you guys all depressed Cam Newton's value like you were insider trading on a stock, Belichick gets Cam Newton. It's infuriating. It's absolutely infuriating, and you owe him an apology.
Like it's insider trading. That's funny. Okay.
Yeah, that laugh was of a man who maybe has done some, and so that made me a little nervous how much that resonated with you.
It is funny. Okay, let's go back to something we agree on. Listen. All the things everybody likes about Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins has all of them. He was Kirk Cousins Monday. There was no pass rush from the Raiders, and he still kept dropping it off to his running backs. I mean, Drew Brees will win some games, but we agree. Like, it's Drew Brees's. You can't win a Super Bowl with that offense. You can't.
He's old, and he's showing it. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. But, I mean, he's 41. And an old 41, if such a thing exists. Like, he turns 42 during the playoffs this coming year. So I don't want to kill him for it because he's playing better than any 41-year-old not named Tom Brady has ever played, but that's still not very good. But that's not the story with New Orleans. And I can't believe this. I feel like I'm just a one-man campaign to try to get people to start talking about this. The best player on their team the last 3 years is Michael Thomas.
Yes.
Why wasn't he out there Monday night? Because he suffered a high ankle sprain. Why did he suffer a high ankle sprain? Because Sean Payton, who's known to be a bit of a jerk, not necessarily in a bad way, but a bit of a jerk, and like to run up the score and like to stick it to his opponent, Sean Payton, when they could have taken knees against the Bucks, they were in a kneel-down situation. He wanted to get to 40 points. They were at 34. He wanted to hang 40 on Tampa to remind them the division still goes through New Orleans. And with a minute 20 left in an 11-point game at the 8-yard line with the Bucks having no timeouts, you're still running offense, and the best player on your team gets rolled up on. He missed last week. He's going to miss this week against the Packers. When he comes back, he won't be 100%. The Saints have put all their future salary cap eggs in this year's basket.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is now at least partially derailed because their coach was trying to run up the score, we saw in week two, Colin, how brutal the NFL can be just regularly. You can lose guys at any given moment. If you have the ability to take knees, take the damn knees. Sean Payton did it, didn't, and he's getting a pass for it. Michael Thomas should never have gotten injured, and especially with only one bye coming out of each conference this year, it severely hampers the Saints' ability to compete for a championship this year.
Good take. By the way, saw a column this morning, kind of made me laugh. This whole let Russ cook thing, a columnist came out and said, yeah, let Dak cook. And I thought, oh, that's not, that's not really the same at all. All right, so Dak's put up through two games. He's, you know, 68% completions, a lot of yards. Yeah. Are you moving off your criticism of Dak, which has been very consistent for 3 years now?
Well, yeah, listen, I moved off it enough to pick them to go to the Super Bowl, even though I don't think he's going to be one of the 10 best quarterbacks in football. I think that I underrated Dak slightly, not drastically, but slightly. It does appear, and I've long been a Carson Wentz over Dak guy. Carson Wentz right now got to worry about being better than Daniel Jones, and then maybe he can compete with Dak the way he's playing so far. But no, I mean, I don't think Dak is part of the problem in Dallas, far from it. And I think he is playing well, and he's about to make a ton of money. But with all that said, let's let Russ cook. Russ is the second best player in the whole sport. Let's not conflate what Russ should be doing in that offense with a limited offensive line and a limited running game, the best way for Seattle to win, and the Cowboys, a good offensive line when they're healthy, and Ezekiel Elliott. To me, those are two very, very different situations. But yeah, listen, Dak has proven over the last couple years, I think he can be the quarterback of a really good team, and if Dallas gets their act together, maybe he will be this year.
Yeah. Very good today. I think we can stop right there. We had two.
Thank you. Can I say one more thing? Just real quick.
Sure.
Just real quick.
Yeah,
I have to say something too. All right. The NBA already, for some reason or another, won't give me an awards vote. I submit a ballot. They send it back to me every year. They just mock me. And now I was told I'm not eligible to be in the virtual fans. And then I hear Joy Taylor say she's going to be in the virtual fans. I can't get a vote. I can't even be a virtual fan. The hell's going on? Well, who did I offend in the NBA office? What's happening? All I do is rep the beautiful sport. And Joy's going to be there waving her Heat pom-poms. I'm going to be watching from home again.
This is what loyalty gets you, Megan.
By the way, I was offered it and turned it down. I was.
All right. You're a bad friend. I'm leaving.
Amazing.
You're a bad friend.
I was a week ago. Bye-bye, everybody. That's Nick Wright. Yeah, a week ago they offered it, and I said, I'm busy. And you'll be on there tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And nobody talks more NBA than Nick Wright. He should be the ambassador of the sport. That's funny.
Amazing.
All right. Coming up next, Joy and I'm going to play detective next. I want to play detective next, coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Life-changing sleep happens at Casper. Only Casper mattresses align your spine to eliminate aches and pains. 86 supportive gel pods. Casper mattress, Casper.com. So my wife has said this often. She would love to be a detective. She's very good. If my wife and I watch a true crime movie or a story, she's just quick. She can figure spot stuff out like nobody's business. And I wanted as a kid to work for the FBI. So I grew up in Washington State. I've said this a few times in my life. Ted Bundy was a legendary serial killer. And as a kid, I was reading, stories were in the newspaper constantly. I was fascinated by it. So I thought about working for the FBI, but my grades didn't get me into the FBI, right? So there's a little in my background. My wife and I would like to be, you know, spies, and we're kind of fascinated by it. And so, Detective Cowherd today, I'm going to be a special agent. the picture on the wall, Detective Cowherd. Now, in sports, when stories leak, they leak because somebody wants them out. Right? Like, you have secrets, Joy. I have secrets. Goulet's got secrets. We've all got secrets in our life that don't get out because we don't want them out. So in sports, Joy and I covering sports forever, stories get out when somebody wants them out. Clippers. Kawhi Leonard is the lone untouchable Clipper in the offseason. Story gets out according to Jovan Buha of The Athletic. Somebody leaks the story. Meaning, outside of Kawhi, Paul George is available. Second leak. Paul George's speech after the Clippers Game 7 loss to the Nuggets met with eye rolls. There was no media in there. Somebody leaked it to Shams Charania. Third leak. Multiple teammates had verbal spats with Paul George throughout the postseason. Chris Haynes had that. Not all of these were visible. We have three leaks on Paul George. Fire up the music again. Why do people leak stuff? They want it out. That's the first reason. They want it out. Why, Joy, do they want it out? To protect their interests. So, Detective Cowherd is suspecting these leaks are coming, perhaps from Doc Rivers, because then Paul George is blamed for the loss, not the coaching staff, which got out-coached.
And that is kind of where the narrative is leaning currently.
Okay. It could be leaking from a Lou Williams wants his money. Paul George, these guys, remember, both Kawhi and Paul can opt out. You step up the financials. Could it be a veteran player looking at Paul George as a financial threat? Could it be? Now, I'm just throwing it out there. Now, here's the thing to remember. Regardless of who it is, this is absolutely point of no return. If I'm an player in the NBA and I'm getting people leaking stuff, doesn't that change the relationships? If I thought you were leaking stuff constantly to the media, three different examples, I'd be like, our relationship would change, or vice versa.
Right.
You wouldn't trust me. So who is leaking stuff with the Clippers? Your guess is?
Yeah, I'd have to lean towards the coaching staff there.
The coaching staff with the Clippers protecting themselves is leaking it so that Paul George takes the hit. Because these stories do not get out if somebody doesn't want them out.
Well, the blame was naturally pointed at Paul George. We didn't really talk about Kawhi's performance, even though Kawhi was not great towards the end of that series. He wasn't.
Yeah.
But because Kawhi has won a championship and clearly carried that team to a championship.
And clearly the better of the two stars.
Right. And that just happened last year. He's kind of going to get a pass in that situation to begin with. So Doc Rivers also has a championship. So it kind of naturally fell on Paul George.
All right. So Detective Cowherd, the audience today, is it the coaching staff of the Clippers?
Well, in these situations, you always have to look at who gains the most from Paul George looking like he is the reason why they lost.
I mean, I'm looking at Kawhi doesn't talk. So is it a veteran like Lou Williams?
Well, Kawhi has nothing to gain from that. Well, unless he really believes that there's someone else available who's that much better than Paul George.
And what's the word on the street? Detectives do listen to that. Is the word on the street?
I haven't put my ear to the streets for this yet, but
it's just very interesting.
It is. I mean, you're absolutely right. Those are multiple stories to multiple different outlets. So this is a campaign.
This is a campaign against Paul George. Now, here's the other thing. Are the Clippers letting it out so when they move them, they can justify it and go, well, I mean, God, he wasn't getting along with teammates.
Right, you don't want an overreaction from the fan base or from the media that they move too quickly.
So we have a John Goulet. Music, please. We have a motive. The motive is
to soften the reaction.
To soften the reaction. Paul George is leaving. Well, I mean, God, he couldn't get along with his teammates. There was eye rolls. He had multiple altercations. Listen, you can't get an 88-mile-an-hour fastball past this show. Not with these detective skills. I'm not blaming Lou or Doc. I'm just saying
somebody wants this to happen.
I'm a detective. I'd like to talk to Lou and Doc and the executives. Hour two next.